Welcome to another episode of the Cognition & Co. podcast, Psychology in South Africa. I'm your host, Dylan Bennion, and on today's episode, we'll be talking about neuropsychology, as well as the only neuropsychology master's program currently available in South Africa. To help us do this, we're joined today by Professor Susan Malcolm-Smith of the UCT Department of Psychology. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Malcolm-Smith.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Great to be here.
Thanks so much. We're so happy to have you. Well, on this episode of our podcast, I wanted to find out a little bit more about neuropsychology and the neuropsychology program offered at UCT. But before we get into all of that, would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I'm an associate professor at the Department of Psychology at UCT. I'm the convener of the Master's Neuropsychology program, and I head up the training in pediatric neuropsychology. So I have been here for a very long time. I was one of the first cohorts of students that was trained by Professor Mark Solms, who really brought neuropsychology to UCT and really kick-started the process of getting it recognized as its own specialty.
Amazing. So as the neuropsychology MA convener, I think we've come to the right place to find out more about neuropsychology. A quick Google search will tell us that neuropsychology is a branch of psychology concerned with the brain and how it influences our cognition and behavior. But what really is neuropsychology?
So neuropsychology is really quite a vast field. And I think that it's probably the most biologically based area of psychology. I think that we work with the health sciences faculty, we work in hospitals. So conceptually, we're sort of situated somewhere between neurology and psychiatry.
Okay.
And we really do look at the brain and behavior relationship. So there's a great deal of knowledge to be acquired about the brain itself, what the different areas do, how the blood supply works, oceans of knowledge that you have to acquire. And with technology advancing all the time, our abilities to investigate how the brain works are ever improving. So we keep learning more and more. It really is a very challenging and evolving field. What our job is that we work with patients who've had some sort of brain injury or a suspected one. And our job is kind of like detective work. We've got to figure out like which aspects of cognition or behavioral control or emotion are in fact impaired by the injury and which are still intact, and how you can work best with the parts of cognition and behavior that are intact to enable the person and their family to lead the most successful life that they can with this brain insult.
Amazing. I really like the fact that it's a combination. Like there's clinical work involved, there's psychiatry almost that paired in there. It's very, very interesting. And then tied together all like within the fact that you're basically playing detective to working with TBIs and things like that.
That's correct. Like I say, there's just so much knowledge to acquire. And it's just so fascinating. Like I say, I've been doing this for quite some time now. I started with Mark in, I think, 2002. But you just never stop learning. And it's just endlessly intriguing. And it is everything. It's not just cognition. You have to understand emotional aspects of the person, their personality, and all sorts of how they regulate their behavior. So it's a rounded approach. It's not just a matter of sort of testing attention, for instance. It's more complex than that.
And then obviously, as technology increases, like you said, you know, the ability to map and to scan the brain, I'm sure that obviously gives you guys more insight into, you know, what's exactly happening within somebody. No longer do we need case studies like Phineas Gage to see what a missing chunk of prefrontal cortex does to an individual. We can actually map these things now.
Yeah, I think with increasing accuracy, you know, there's still some difficulties with some of the technology. There's been a lot of controversy recently about the validity of some, you know, functional MRI research. So it's an evolving process, but we certainly know a whole lot more, and we're able to see physically and also sort of online as the person is doing something via these kinds of technologies. We're able to see what's going on in the brain far more clearly than we could prior to their development. You know, we really are moving in the right direction, at least.
Amazing. And that's, you know, what's best for the patients and the clients as well, obviously. In saying that, what kind of patients do neuropsychologists see, you know, on a day-to-day basis?
We're very fortunate for our students in that we work at tertiary level hospitals. So we see some quite rare and quite complicated cases. But typically what would happen is that in the adult stream of training, you get referrals from neurology, so people who have had strokes or people who have diabetes, who've got some sort of cardiovascular problem that has affected the way in which the brain is functioning. We get referrals from neurosurgery, people who have had tumors or head injuries, etc., referrals from geriatrics to try and determine whether or not someone is just aging normally or whether they are in fact exhibiting signs of dementia. So I think those are probably the three main referral sources for adults. Then in pediatrics, similarly, we get a lot of referrals from neurology, lots of cases of epilepsy from neurology in particular. And then lots from neurosurgery. Head injuries are terribly common in South Africa, unfortunately. And then also from developmental pediatrics. So in the Western Cape, we know we've got some of the highest rates of fetal alcohol spectrum disorders. So we get a variety of referrals around all sorts of different disorders, also genetic conditions where the brain development and cognition can be affected. So we get to see a very broad range of patients and very interesting cases. But it's also, I think students must, or potential students must think about the fact that although we do our best to help and we do provide some training and rehabilitation, you are going to be dealing with people who have had brain injury. So to some extent or another, that's a permanent problem. And it can be very, very hard, especially when you work with children. So that's an important factor to take into consideration when you're thinking about, you know, how to map out your future career. Like, is that for you? Are you going to be able to deal with how difficult people's lives can become subsequent to a brain injury?
Sure. I see it quite often with students that, you know, I work with where we're taught almost at like an intro level to psychology that, you know, psychology can fix everything, you know, that we can use it in a way that is extremely hopeful. And that's not always the case. When we look at these things realistically, you know, the prognosis of a lot of these issues are long-term and are exactly. Probably not going to go away.
Yeah.
So I think that is an important thing to mention, you know, the fact that sometimes you are going to deal with stuff that you just cannot fix.
You can put rehabilitation strategies into place where you try and maximize the abilities that are left and you do family education so that people understand what's realistic to expect and what isn't and how best to sort of help the person. But unfortunately, yeah, some damage is not going to get better.
Thanks for bringing that up. One of the main reasons why I wanted to do this podcast was because it's really, really an exciting time at the moment for neuropsychology in South Africa. The Health Professions Council of South Africa recently allocated neuropsychology its own official category, which is extremely exciting to have a new one kind of thrown into the mix.
Yeah, that's right. At last. It's been a very, very long process. As I say, I was in the first cohort that started studying this program here at UCT, and that was back in 2002, 2003, I think. And I think we've always been very clear here at UCT that neuropsychology needs to be its own specialization. There's such a huge amount of knowledge that you need to acquire in order to be able to practice it properly. It's not possible to do it within the confines of a clinical training psychology program where so much other stuff has to be learned as well.
Sure.
You really do need at least 2 years of master's to begin to be competent at neuropsychology. So it was I think UCT and WITS eventually had to initiate a legal battle basically with the HPCSA because our degree was recognized in 2011, but the register wasn't opened until this year. So I think it was towards the end of last year that finally a court order came through that the HPCSA needed to be moving on this. So now finally, some of us are registered and some of our students have written the board exams and they are registered, our graduates, that is. So we're super excited. It's a great time for us.
Yeah, because I remember reading up on the neuropsychology page on the UCT website, and there was kind of like a disclaimer at the end a couple of years ago saying, please understand that by doing this, you know, you might struggle to fit into a category. You know, the HPCSA haven't really said where you can fit in. That was quite a concern for a lot of people, and that's no longer an issue, which is so amazing.
Yeah, I mean, it was really, really difficult. We had to warn students about the reality of the situation, which was that we were just having this ongoing wrangle trying to get the category properly in place, trying to get the register opened for neuropsychologists. And really, Prof. Mark Solms led that battle. And UCT and WITS, together with their legal representatives, have really assisted. So we have finally passed that point. But, you know, with that disclaimer, people had to be pretty sure that they were not ready to do anything but neuropsychology, no matter what. So I guess we really had some very, very committed students. But
yeah.
Thankfully, we can remove that now. That can go. It's all legit. You will be registrable when you finish the program.
And for those that had done it beforehand, you know, who'd done the course before or the program before the registration had been allocated, the HPCSA told me about the fact that they would need to do a grandfathering process. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yes, the HPCSA is busy grandfathering people into the register, and it's primarily for people who have been trained in the field and have been working in the field in recent years. And all those documents are available, like what you have to fill in, what you need to provide them with. All of that's very much available on their website. So our staff here at UCT, the people who work on the neuropsychology program, we've all been grandfathered, and the process happened very, very quickly. A bunch of our students who registered somewhere between 2003 and 2012, which is when the accredited program came into place, those guys are also going to be applying for grandfathering, and we'll assist them as much as we can. So that process has been quite smooth for those of us who've gone through it already.
Great. I think after such a long battle with the HPCSA, you know, it's nice to hear that things are moving smoothly for some of the individuals that have done these courses in the past.
Yeah, I think they may ask certain students to pick up on some things that they may not have enough of. You know, for instance, do 3 months of rehabilitation under supervision, pick up these CPD points. You know, I think there may be conditions that have to be met, depending on your training and then how much experience you've been having in recent years. So it is individually based, but like I say, they have been moving quite quickly on this.
Excellent. So UCT is the only university at the moment that has a neuropsychology program that's, you know, up and running in the country. I know that WITS used to have one, but it doesn't seem to appear that they have one anymore. Can you tell us a little bit more about, you know, the program that you convene?
Sure. So it's a full-time clinical training. Our program is 2 years long. And then after that, the HPCSA does require completion of an internship, which is a further year. So the way that our degree works is that in the first year, you do have to do some research. A research dissertation is a part of the degree, so it's a minor dissertation. You have to develop your proposal, get it approved, and get cracking on trying to finish as much of that as you can within the first year. And then there's a lot of theoretical instruction in the first year. We try to teach everything that you need to know about adult neuropsychology and about pediatric neuropsychology. You have a very intensive course in neuroanatomy, neuropathology, and neuroimaging, which runs the entire year. So there also, there's a great deal to learn. So alongside that, the M1s also get a little bit of clinical exposure. They sit in on case conferences. They watch cases that we run, pediatrics at the Red Cross Hospital, and some adult cases that are seen at Kruiskeer Hospital. And then in second year, the focus shifts to being primarily clinical, and students start seeing cases, taking histories, and really getting some experience in the hands-on now of applying all the theory that they've learned. So the course gets progressively more intensive. I think there's a little more space to be able to do a bit of tutoring, a little bit of part-time work in the first year, not much, but some, whereas in the second year, you really are very, very busy with your clinical work and with writing up reports and things like that. And then the internship as well, very, very busy, not much time to spare at all. Now, one thing I must say is that there aren't formal internships established yet. the way that we have them for clinical psychology. And we really hope that in the future, UCT will work to set those up. But we offer a voluntary internship in the third year, and we provide supervision for our students so that they can, in fact, meet those HPCSA requirements for that intern experience before they can write the board exam and then get registered.
In terms of students that are interested in applying for this program, I know that the applications are still open. That's until the end of October, right?
That's correct. So the application process is open until the 31st of October. And you can find the application forms on the department's website under the postgraduate program. Or you can email the postgraduate secretary, who's Rosalind Adams. You can find her details. Something to mention is that it's a very competitive process. I guess it's like clinical psychology. We get so many more applicants than we can accommodate every single year.
Sure.
So we have certain minimum criteria before we'll even look at an application. And those include having an honors degree with a minimum of 70% overall. And within that honors degree, you need to have done a neuropsychology module or an equivalent. So something like cognitive neuroscience, brain and behavior, physiological psychology, something like that at the honors level in order to be eligible for consideration. And then we go through a selection process where you have to, if you're shortlisted, you come in and we do interviews and things like that. But like I say, unfortunately, we have so many applicants that we only take 6 people every year. We just can't accommodate everybody. So it really is very competitive.
Sure. For all the students that are studying through UNISA, the module that you would need in order to meet the prerequisite is PYC 4813, which is cognitive neuroscience. And it's actually not one of the modules that will be automatically allocated to you in the 8 that you would be doing. So if you are interested in neuropsychology, please look out to add that module to your registration so that you do actually qualify to do this process.
That's a really good suggestion. And it's also helpful for students who may have done an honors at a university that doesn't provide any kind of topic like that at an honors level. I think you can pick up that module by itself through UNISA, and then you'll be eligible to apply for our program if you have added that to what you already have in your honors.
Yeah, I'm sure that possibility is to pick those up as non-degree purpose modules. So definitely, if you have done an honors whereby you haven't completed any module like that, you can still get involved if neuropsychology is your thing.
That's right.
Where would a neuropsychologist work? Is there scope for private practice? Is it more of an academic sort of profession that you'd be following? Would there be clinical work? Where would you find neuropsychologists within the public sector?
At present, I think anyone who is working in neuropsychology is pretty much working in private practice. So it's quite a high referral level. I think that people get referrals from other health professionals. So we get referrals from neurologists or neurosurgeons or pediatric doctors. So the referrals tend to come through other medical professionals. And I think a lot of people also do medico-legal work, so people who've had head injuries and who need some sort of assessment to see, you know, how they're going to be able to function going forward after this motor vehicle accident, for instance. So I think a lot of people work in that sort of area. But I think that now that the category has been properly established, we really hope that the hospitals will also start creating posts where there will be neuropsychologists on staff, because the need certainly is very great.
Sure. And I think, you know, as well as the hospitals, I'm also pretty sure that the universities will start offering more programs like this, you know, and hopefully we'll be creating more neuropsychologists in the years to come.
Yes, I think that would be great. I think it's very much needed, and it would be great to see. Hopefully WITS will open their program up again. We definitely need more training centers, that's for sure, because we need local people with local expertise. So we've also got a very strong transformation imperative in place, basically, so that we can serve our population properly, basically.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, South Africa's got such a diverse population. And in order to get to that diverse population or to meet the needs of everyone within that diverse population, I think it's important that transformation occurs so that we have access to individuals from those areas that can take that back.
Absolutely. So important.
Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. The information has been invaluable, and I'm sure that a lot of students will use this as a resource in terms of their applications and when and where to apply. So thank you so much for being here. We're very, very appreciative.
Such a pleasure. It's really great to get to talk about neuropsychology. Thank you.
We'd just like to extend a massive thanks to Professor Malcolm Smith for giving us her time. In fact, she did this podcast twice due to a technical issue from my side. So thank you so, so much. If you'd like to find out more about the UCT Master's Program in Neuropsychology, we'll include a link in the podcast description below. For more information on Professor Malcolm Smith and her research, you can find her on ResearchGate as well as on the Accent Lab website listed below. To all our followers, we're so appreciative that you took the time to listen to our podcast. And we look forward to seeing you again on the next episode. Good luck with those neuropsychology applications.